Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please, take a seat. I think some of this bell ringing has been gratuitous. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed, or is he? If you were Mary or Mary or Salome on that first Easter morning, you might not be so sure. These women, the most faithful of the disciples, come to the tomb in shock. Jesus' death on Good Friday was the last thing they could possibly have imagined. They had stayed with Jesus to the end. They were the only ones to see where he was laid, but there had been no time to bury him before the Sabbath began, and so they wait in grief and mourning through that long day of rest. And as soon as it ends, they rush out to buy the spices they need to prepare the tomb. Their minds are numb, and it's all they can do to ask one another over and over again, who will roll away the stone that's covering the tomb? They weren't expecting to see Jesus die on Friday, but they're certainly expecting to find him dead on Sunday. But the stone has been rolled away, and Jesus' body is gone. And after a cryptic message from a mysterious young man, the women flee in fear. And their Easter morning culminates not in alleluias and candy-filled eggs, not with the sight of flowers beginning to bloom or the taste of a festive Easter brunch, but with terror and amazement and speechless, wordless fear. Now, it is unlikely that you will run from church in terror this morning, but in other ways, you may find yourself very much in the position of these three women at the tomb. In fact, all of us are. Whether you've been dragged here by your family this morning against your will, or whether you've been at 17 services already this week, the situation is the same. When you hear the message of Easter morning, when you hear the news of the resurrection in 2024, you are in the position of these three women, Mary and Mary and Salome at the tomb. You've been told that Jesus is risen, but you don't get to see the risen Lord. The tomb is empty, the body is gone, and some young man dressed in a white robe says that he is risen. But there's no proof, not the kind that counts. Paul enumerates to the Corinthians a half dozen times that Jesus appeared after rising from the dead, but we just get the words. He is not here. He has been raised. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. Of all these things, I think it's easiest to believe that he is not here, at least not in his expected human form. Unless he has had a haircut of some kind. But even then on Easter Day, it was true. Jesus had been raised from the dead, but he was not there in the same way. His resurrected form was somehow different from his earthly form. It wasn't as though he had woken from a nap. He was alive, but transformed. And when the young man at the tomb says to these most faithful disciples that he is not here, it means that he hasn't simply come back to finish the work he was going to do. You thought he was coming to Jerusalem to establish the kingdom of God, to rule over the people in justice and peace, and he's not. That's not the plan. And so, whether you're a skeptic or a believer, surely you can accept that this world in 2024 is a world in which Jesus is not here in that way. We are not living in the kingdom of God, the reign of love that he proclaimed. Surely this is not what Isaiah foresaw when he said that God would wipe away the tears from our eyes. Our world is ripped apart by war. Our own lives might not be going as smoothly as we'd once imagined. We get sick, and we suffer, and it's easy to believe that Jesus is not here. It's harder to believe that he has been raised. And yet on Easter, that's the hope that we proclaim in the face of all the rest. To say that Jesus has been raised is to say that suffering and death are never the end of the story. To say that Jesus has been raised is to say that the forces of violence and injustice do not win out in the end. To say that Jesus has been raised is to say that God loves you so much that long ago God became human like you and laid down God's own life for you, so that at the end of this life he might raise you with Christ into a new and better world. It's this promise that's the hard one to accept, and yet it's this one that offers our greatest hope, that whatever heartbreak and pain this world may bring, there is a new heavens and a new earth, and God will bring us there. But the message of Easter is more than just a hopeful promise about the future. The message of Easter is not just that if you suffer along meekly in this life, you'll get pie in the sky when you die, as Joe Hill wrote. What the young man tells the women at the tomb is not just that Jesus is not here, that he is not going to finish that work. And it's not just that he is risen, that he will one day finish that work. It's that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, back home, where they'd just come from. Jesus is not going to set up the realm of God in the holy city where they'd expected, ruling over perfect people in perfect peace. Jesus is going out there in the world, back there in their homes. Jesus is going with us, however perfect or imperfect we may be. And if we're looking for Jesus, that's where we should look. That's where God's work is being done. Not in the tomb where they expect to mourn him, but in the thousand places that they'll meet him, alive, transformed, and working in the worlds. And maybe that's the hardest thing for them to believe. Maybe that's the terrifying part, the final word that causes them to flee. Jesus is not here anymore, not in the way we expect, but neither has he disappeared. He's out there, all around them. And every day, the kingdom of God is still being revealed all around us. In every bud that survived last week's frost to bloom, the beauty of God's creation is being revealed. In every moment of completely unnecessary kindness from a neighbor or a friend, God's love is overflowing out of them and into your life. Every time you forgive someone for something they've done to hurt you, every time you need to be forgiven, our world is drawing one step closer to that vision that Isaiah has of the kingdom of God. And with every step you take down the road of your life, Jesus is going ahead of you by signs and symbols, reminding you by whatever means possible that God loves you as you are, and inviting you to walk in love without fear or shame or regret. Because when all the powers of evil and death have done their worst, he will raise you up nevertheless. And we have nothing to lose in this life but the chance to love one another as he loved us. There's a funny thing about that last verse of the Gospel of Mark. They said nothing to anyone, Mark writes, for they were afraid. And yet here we are, 2,000 years later or so, because they were afraid, but they also had a choice. They could choose to believe that Jesus had failed to live up to their hopes, that his body had been stolen, that the young man's words had been a hoax. They could sneak out of the city in fear and go back to Galilee to their ordinary lives, or they could choose to believe that it was true, that he was risen, and they could go back to Galilee to their ordinary lives, but no longer as their ordinary selves, as people transformed, as people looking for Jesus, as people looking for signs of God all around them, as people trying to walk in the way of love that he had taught them. They chose to live the rest of their lives looking for one more glimpse, and thank God that they did. So, alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.